I'm Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center, and I have a question. Do you have someone in your life who drains the life right out of you, like holes in the bottom of a tin can being drilled and everything in you is being drained out? And you can't get away because it's someone that you love and someone you care for, but they're emotionally weak and it's hard for you. How to love an emotionally weak person? Here's the good news. I got 10 things you can do, and we got a special offer for you to help you even further. And today, focusing on how to love an emotionally weak person in your life.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center. And we do ask the question, how do you love an emotionally weak person? Maybe we have to start by sort of defining what that is. You sort of know at the gut level, don't you? Maybe you feel when you're around them like you're walking on eggshells. Certain topics, certain discussions, certain hot buttons that you don't want to get near. Maybe they're the type of person that's draining you with always wanting help or suggestions, but then they don't follow through or they don't really take any action to be responsible for themselves. Maybe just kind of complaining. And so you feel like you're walking on eggshells. It also could be when you see their number on your caller ID, at least for a second, you question, am I going to answer the phone or let it go to voicemail? It's the person maybe you see in the hallway or someone you see at church or in your own family that you know if you get going and talking, it's going to just be draining. That doesn't build into your life. They're not people that are necessarily moving in a healthy direction for themselves. And you care and you want to love them and you want to help them, but the reality is they're just draining. Do you have anybody like that? And I'd like to know, do you, and what do you wrestle with? I'm going to share with you, I want to make this a really practical half hour. I did a teaching a couple months ago, very practical top 10 list of intentionals, 10 things that you can do and how to love an emotionally weak person. We put 8 of those on a teaching that we've been featuring this month for all of our members. And I thought I'd come in the studio today and go through some of these 10 things that you can do to love an emotionally weak person. I'm going to get to those, and I'd love to hear your story as well. Or maybe you've been the emotionally weak person, and you had to grow up, and you realize as a result of that that you had to take responsibility. This is not a matter of love. This is not a matter of not loving people. It's a matter of how to love them, when it's difficult. 888-888-1717. Here's the verse for the day, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Are you ready? Let's jump in.
Her role was that she would try and share Christ with me. And, you know, I had become a Christian, and then we eventually left and went to college and had to do some adjusting. And our interactions at that time were really difficult, really hurtful, so I didn't call her for about 10, 15 years. She called me back, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. Well, I wouldn't want to share my heart with her for fear that she'll be judging, because there's a lot of judgment that goes along.
I've been friends with my friend Sarah since we were in middle school. You know, we did everything together. You know, I mean, we still are, we're just alike. But our lives just, you know, have kind of gone different ways. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter what I do with her. It's like everything that I do, she puts down.
Maybe you can relate, you know, with those kinds of things where you really wrestle with a person who's just wrestling with their own emotions. Okay, let's get to the phone calls. Julie is on the line. First caller today. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
What's your question today, Julie?
Hi, yes, everything you described in that introduction describes my husband. And what I'm struggling with is our home is pretty hostile. It's a pretty hostile environment. He's pretty stressed out. He's got a very stressful job, and he tends to take that out on us. And I have two kids, boy and a girl. 12 and 14. And they see this, everybody is pretty stressed out. And the hard part is we can go through maybe a couple weeks where everything's fine and calm and we're laughing together and having a good time. But then, you know, you just step on that landmine and he's shouting and critical and blaming. And it's hard for me. My, you know, it's always, we've been married for 20 years. So he's done this with me and I've learned to, you know, have my confidence in God and the Lord, and, you know, and so I, regardless of how, I wish we could be intimate and close, but if we're not, you know, I, my source is in God, but it's hard for me, how, what am I supposed to do as a mom when you see your husband verbally abusing your children?
Well,
what's
Julie,
my responsibility?
Well, Julie, listen, are you both Christians?
We are.
And, is this something that the two of you have ever talked about or gone to counseling and tried to get to the, some of the core of the problem?
We have. I've talked to him about it. He doesn't seem to respect me very much if I bring it up that, you know, I'm trying to set boundaries or talk about it. I've gone to counseling myself, and that's been good for me. I want him. I would like for him to go to counseling. And
What did you learn in counseling?
Well, some of the things I've learned, one thing I've learned is she noticed that he seems like he's the only one that's allowed to have feelings in this house. Nobody else's feelings matter but his.
Now, he went with you. The two of you went to counseling?
Oh, actually, I just went by myself. And so...
Well, Julie, listen, when we talk about a relationship and marriage and what God's intention is in a family, God never intended for a family to be a place where we can't be safe emotionally and relationally and communicate and grow. And it does affect us. It affects you. It affects your kids. And as you said, you figured out you're coping, how to cope with this. But then you're concerned as you look at your kids. You know, the obvious, you going to counseling is a good thing. And I, that's why I was interested in what the counselor was telling you. What would be the best would be your husband and you, or your husband alone, recognize that there's got to be some issues that he's got to deal with, so your home can be a place that honors Christ, where there can be contentment, there can be communication, and everybody has an opportunity to have feelings and express feelings, and it can be safe, because I hear that too, being a safe place emotionally, where you're safe to be able to share what's going on without feeling you got to be shut down. And to that extent, I always recommend, obviously, getting into counseling, but there has to be at points when you have a tire that has this constant slow leak, and then the air gets put back in, and it's okay for a while, and then it gets leaking again. Pretty soon, you have to stop and fix the problem. You have to fix the problem, hopefully before there's a blowout. See, the problem is once there's a blowout, then all sorts of things have to happen. You know, the it's better when you have a slow leak to deal with it. When you're stopped, you can take it off, fix the tire, and put it back on. And I use that as an analogy for you, Julie. And what would be ideal would be for you to and your husband to get into counseling and say, hey, we've got a slow leak that's approaching a blowout, and a blowout is not going to be good for this family, and we've got to deal with some of these issues, and for your husband to take responsibility. The problem when we're emotionally weak, and we all wrestle with this at some point, in the case of your husband, it sounds like it's a Mount St. Helens thing. It builds up, builds up, builds up, and then blows. There's a little pressure taken off, and then it stops and steams for a while, and then it'll build up and then blow again. The problem is there's a point where this blowing up becomes so pervasive and such a serious problem that the family gets decimated. The marriage is broken. And, of course, I would hope that the two of you wouldn't want that for yourselves as being a couple. So in your case, I think it's even beyond just being emotionally weak. I think you've got the emotional weakness that's transferred into what you're calling verbal abuse, and that's not something that should be going on in a Christian home. That shouldn't be going on in any home, period. And it's something that, in a safe way, and that's why I encourage you to get counseling for yourself if the two of you won't go, to put a plan together on how to get your husband to recognize what accountability, what boundaries have to be put in place, what has to happen for the two of you to get on the same page. God never intended for us to be verbally abusive or harsh or punitive in our marriages or families, period. Bottom line, never. That's never his intention. There's not a place in Scripture we can find that. Yeah, our home should be a place of nurturing and a healthy discipline, which again is discipleship and training. All right. Thank you, Julie. We're praying for you. How about you? Maybe it's not that serious, but maybe it's just an emotionally weak person that you walk on eggshells around. What is it? 888-888-1717. When dealing with an emotionally weak person, enter and exit conversations gently. That's a really practical thing to share with you. Because you're dealing with a person who's not going to take a lot of agitation when you want to talk to them about something. And you all know what I'm talking about. You have relationships with people that you can push a certain button with a word that you say or the way that you communicate and just blow this whole thing up. And it's important to understand what doesn't work with an emotionally weak person. Number one, confrontation is not always the best thing with an emotionally weak person. I'm going to go set them straight, or I'm going to confront them. Some people love it that way. There's some people, just tell me. Just come at me. I'm okay. I can deal with that. Other people, you can't. That's an excerpt, by the way, from an offer this month for all of our members. Members, you're receiving it automatically. Monthly members of Intentional Living who support the ministry financially every month, you're receiving the entire teaching on these 8 of the 10 points on how to love an emotionally weak person. And that's coming to you in the mail. But everyone who joins, if you're not a member and you become a monthly member today, I've been told that we can get this to you as well. So we'll send you the entire teaching on this as you stand with us every month by going to theintentionallife.com. Stacy is in Missouri. Welcome to the program, Stacy.
Hi, Dr. Carlson.
Appreciate your call today. What's your question for me?
Well, a few weeks ago, I found out that my mom was addicted to pain meds. And
was this a result of after surgery or something?
It was a result of an ankle or a leg that she broke a couple of years ago. And I had noticed that she had started pulling away, but I only noticed about 9 months ago. This was 2 years ago, I think she started. And 9 months ago, I'd realized that something in her is just really changing. There are other issues that I thought maybe it was medical. I'd asked my sister on many occasions. My mom lived an hour south, and my sister and brother lived near her. Asked my sister on many occasions, you know, what's going on with mom? never really got much feedback. So I left it in God's hands. I don't like confrontation, but I will address something, like to get the elephant out of the room. Was concerned. Anyway, found out 3 weeks ago after not being able to contact her, I was just really concerned. Went to find her and found her in a really bad state. She had taken some bad drugs, was incoherent, just out of her mind. Ended up finding out that she'd been like that for 12 to 24 hours, and my stepdad, sister, or brother really didn't seek any help for her, just kind of left her. And so I was pretty angry and hurt from the lies and deception over, you know, many months to years. Got my mom some help, tried to get her into rehab, but she refused. I thought she was going to go, but I was just basically being led along to believe that she was. It's just a very difficult environment. Down there, there's a lot of enablement, a lot of codependency in their relationships. And
now, this is with your siblings or
my mom and my sibling.
Your sibling,
yeah. They didn't let on that they knew. My brother was even helping her get the drugs, so they're just kind of hiding it from me instead of dealing with the problem or confronting her.
Well, Stacy, I think let me jump. I got a picture here, and I think we're talking about emotionally weak people today. And it's interesting. The first two calls have been more extreme in terms of your call and the last one, Stacy, are you know, people who are really desperate. And as I think of your mom, I mean, if this were my mom and it was a life and death potential situation, she's not in good shape. You know, you've got to be willing to risk relationships sometimes to walk in there and say, hey, this cannot continue. This can't continue, you know. Where's the source? Going doctor to doctor to doctor? Where are these drugs coming from? And confronting this issue. I don't know the age of your mom, but I've heard of people when they have this situation, they call the doctor directly, one of them at least, and say, look, this is what I'm aware of, that there's multiple medications, and where is she getting them? And confronting your siblings with something's got to change. Like you said, you're not a confronter by nature, Stacy, but there are times when we do have to risk even the relationships with our family for the life and death benefit of a person that we love. And it seems to me that if your mom is truly addicted to painkillers and you're finding her in a bad way, she needs to be confronted. She needs to have an intervention. She needs to have people around her. It'd be great if all the family that loves her would come and say, "Mom, you got to get help," and then get the help for her. Because just continuing to give pain medication after it's not needed, is dangerous and destructive. And so there's a point where we have to confront. You know, you hear me say you can't confront every emotionally weak person. But sometimes when the emotional weakness is leading to life and death situations, they've got to be confronted. And it seems to me that you're in that situation with your mom. Here's a key verse for us as we think about this month. It's a verse right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we know it's a love chapter, right? It talks about love is what? Patient and kind and so on. In fact, that is the verse for this month. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, the first part of that verse, love suffers long. And I like that version because when we're talking about dealing with an emotionally weak person, you might feel like you're suffering long, right? You're just suffering long. And the scripture says, love suffers long and is kind. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month for all members of Intentional Living, how to love an emotionally weak person. Maybe you feel, as I said on that clip, you're suffering long. You know what that picture feels like for you. What's interesting is I'm seeing the calls coming in here. This is not light stuff. These are people who are really wrestling with not only feeling like you're walking on eggshells from day to day, but really concerned about the relationships. And so these principles that we're teaching hopefully will be a foundation to help you think through how to love an emotionally weak person. By the way, you can receive this, all new members, all current members, those who support every month, brand new teaching every month happens to be this month, this topic, how to love an emotionally weak person. Okay, let's go to Heather, who's on the line today. Heather, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Hi, Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, mine deals with my husband. We kind of walk on eggshells around him as well. He has what I don't think a stressful job, but he feels it's stressful, and I think he kind of lets a lot of the little things get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's angry, he's screaming and hollering and shouting, and you never know what kind of mood he's going to be in that day. And so I said, we have three little children, 7, 6, and 3, and he kind of expects like a perfect household at all times, and I don't understand that because I come from a family of 4, and my mom didn't work and our house still wasn't perfect, and we both work, so it's just hard dealing with him because you never know what kind of mood he's going to be in. And
have you confronted this?
Whether he's going to be screaming or whether he's going to be happy-go-lucky.
Have you talked to him about this?
I have, and a lot of times he manages to turn it around to it's just me complaining about things.
Mm-hmm. Does he see it, though? Does he recognize it? Has he ever acknowledged that he wrestles with his emotions?
No. No, he usually, if the house is a mess, he's screaming and hollering, and I'm like, why can't you just ask them nicely to pick it up? Why do you have to scream and holler about it?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, because they don't listen, and mm-hmm. He just seems very angry, and I ask
how do you respond?
Are you mad? I'm not mad.
How do you respond when he's that way?
Well, I try not to get angry at first, but then I end up turning around and getting angry at him, and then it turns into sometimes a shouting match. And,
okay, so it escalates. It escalates.
Right. It gets worse and worse, and more mad at him, and then he doesn't want to talk anymore. The minute we're really mad at each other, he don't want to talk, and he mm-hmm. shuts down, and he either leaves or goes outside. Or
okay, it's a vicious cycle. It's a cycle that we go through. Heather, a couple things. People who are emotionally weak, and we're hearing these multiple stories that are coming in. I guess the picture is you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them. And sometimes it's just occasionally now and then you kind of learn to live with it. And sometimes there has to be this blowout that I referred to earlier. There's a point where you've got to say, I love you, And I'm contributing to this problem, too, because it escalates and then I get caught up in it. And I'm going to change how I respond to this in the future. And having a plan that you're going to take for yourself when that occurs, something that's going to be healthy and very demonstrative in terms of, you know, I just can't stand here and have the yelling and all this kind of thing. But there has to be an opportunity, or there has to be a point in any close relationship where if there's this kind of emotionality that's just out of line, it has to be lovingly confronted and firmly confronted and boundaries put in place for the sake of the relationship, because these things tend to escalate. And as they escalate, they often get out of hand. And unfortunately, when they get out of hand, then it's too late. Sometimes there's no turning back. When things are still at a stage where we can talk about these, we can get into counseling, we can put some boundaries in place, that's going to be healthy. Here's a bottom line, not only for your call, Heather, but for everyone today. One of the things that I said in these list of 10 things, number 7 is establish boundaries of space and time. You know, there's books written on boundaries and setting boundaries and so on. But boundaries, when you're in an emotionally weak relationship with a person who's extremely emotionally weak, there has to be boundaries put in place. Boundaries that just simply say, this is not acceptable stuff. This is not how a marriage between two people who are Christians, two people who love the Lord, is going to occur. Something has to change. And it comes down to making a decision that you're going to go in a different direction, a healthier direction. And setting those boundaries, sometimes you need help in doing that, Heather. That's why I sound like I'm repeating myself, but find a godly counselor, find a woman counselor, find someone who can really help you put together a plan. Maybe you and your husband, ideally going in together, that'd be fantastic to just say we want things to be better in our marriage. But I'll tell you what, and I believe this with everything in me, negative behavior ignored only compounds. It doesn't get better on its own generally. Sometimes there's a wake-up call. That's why I asked, did your husband see it in himself and he's working on it? Does he see it as a weakness and trying to get better and trying to get help? That's one thing. But a person who becomes immediately defensive, puts up the wall and says, I'm right and you're wrong, you know, that kind of negativity, that kind of negative behavior doesn't tend to decrease on its own. Negative behavior ignored will compound. And so the boundaries that are put in place, avoiding the triggers that may be those buttons that get pushed, focusing on solutions and not problems. And these are some of the points that I teach on the teaching this month. But dealing with an emotionally weak person is not an easy thing to do. But I would say step 7 is an important one. Establishing those boundaries, boundaries of space and boundaries of time, can be a starting point. But I'll tell you, negative behavior ignored will compound.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Now, here's a third thing about emotionally weak people, really important. You can't change them, so don't try. One of the things we try to do is we try to change another person. We're thinking one more conversation, one more Bible verse, one more time praying together, one more suggestion of 3 things that they could do, and they're going to change. Now, maybe that's only me, because I'm in the business of change, right? I mean, that's what I do, and I fall into that trap. Donna saw a little, what was that little plaque that we saw up in Pine Top? You were going to buy it and bring it home. What was it? You remember what it said? My goal in life is to change somebody else or something. I don't know, but it was that was sort of my symbol in life. So it's, for me, the idea of change is a big thing. I can help you change and you can change. But you know what? When we get into a relationship with someone we love, the goal is not to change them. The goal is to love them. See?
And hopefully in the process, they'll see they need to change to honor God. As Christians, and as a Christian community, let's talk as Christians here for a minute. This isn't the kind of stuff God intends for us to have in our relationships, period. We love one another.
And we gave that as the verse today, right? Be patient and kind. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, Romans 12:10. I mean, we've got a biblical basis for this. And when we do it, there's radical transformation that can occur in our lives. And I want you to know that the entire teaching, How to Love an Emotionally Weak Person, 8 of the 10 points that are on the list today, I teach in detail on this CD. And by the way, it's going to all members this month, so watch for it. And if you join today as a new member with monthly support, we'll get this to you on the list as well. And thanks for doing that, Dawn. I know it's already in the middle of the month, but we'll make sure that we get that out.
No problem. It's an important teaching, and we want everyone who wants it to get it. So when you become a member today, we'll make sure we send that right out to you, along with future CDs, teachings from Dr. Randy, with our thanks for your becoming a member with your monthly gift of support. Now, this month, today, in fact, is a great day to get involved.
Yeah, an added bonus, right.
An added bonus with our match going on right now, $100,000, dollar-for-dollar match given to the ministry. And we're excited, Dr. Randy. Almost $11,000 so far has been matched. So it's going fast.
That's good.
Even if you can't become a member, call in with a generous gift today, and that gift will be matched dollar for dollar. You can call us at 888-888-1717, press number 4 to make a donation, or go online safe and secure to theintentionallife.com and click on donate.
All right, and after you hit the donate, everything's there. You can explain and click that you want to have it matched.
You want to have it matched.
Okay, all right. So your gift today, so if you become, let's say you become a new member today.
Okay.
And you share a gift of $30 today. Mm-hmm. Every month you're going to join us. That $30.
The $30 today
will be
gets matched.
Additional $30 will go back into the overall ministry.
Correct.
To help with what we're doing. Plus, we'll get the DVD or CD out to you on how to love an emotionally weak person.
That's how it works.
All right. Thank you very much, Dawn.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Intentional living, we just scratched the surface on this topic today. But again, as Christians, we're followers of Christ. We're intentional people, people of the kingdom, people who love the Lord. And if we are, today the calls were from Christian people, husbands and wives generally who are Christians. We can do better. We all can do better. In terms of really trusting God, in understanding what the Scripture teaches, and even this one verse that I just shared with you from Romans 12, being devoted to one another in love, there's an intentional verse for you. Honor one another above yourselves. Boy, that's powerful. Upcoming programs, what makes a great dad? That's appropriate for this season, isn't it? Also, 3 naked truths about marriage, and what difference does faith make in your life? Does it make a difference? Some of the topics coming up, some of our programs on intentional living. I'm Randy Carlson. For Steve Tanner, Stephen Davis, for Sally and Dawn and the rest of our team here, thank you for listening. Thanks for your support. God bless you. See you next time.